when we talk to you, we should talk to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Be comfortable. Okay. Like, don't.
And but never look. You this can away look that
too.
Way?
Sometimes I point to the camera. Like, just be totally you and comfortable.
That was for shows.
Oh.
Like, because you don't understand what's going on.
All right. Well, I am super excited to have you guys on the podcast, the Ashley Tube Show. But, well, I already know this, but maybe we can just share with everyone, like, how you guys met, how you know each other, and we can start there. So, okay.
Well, we met at Brooklyn College. Mm-hmm. I think me and Tanika met first in a quiet dungeon at in Roosevelt Building. And maybe like a year later, I met Allison on the quad, strolling with her jeans and Tim's. Is it not? Yeah. And we've been friends since. Mm. You want to add on?
I came to Brooklyn College in 2004. Mm-hmm. I was a cheerleader at Boys and Girls High School, so I wanted to continue cheer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I came across the information for cheerleading, but I was connected to the coach. Mm-hmm. I received her email. Mm-hmm. And she was, like, relatively fresh from Colorado, mm-hmm. so new to New York and not down with the fashion and the music and the style. Mm-hmm. So it was the exact opposite of what I anticipated.
We'll cut that out.
It's the truth. No, keep it.
Because
bell bottoms and all.
Oh, bell bottoms.
Because this Tanika is not the same Tanika that we met, I don't know, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I was pleasantly surprised. And the rest is history.
Yeah. Let me see. I met you through one of my closest friends, Michelle. She was like, let's go try out for cheerleading. I'm just like, ugh. Cheerleading in college? Mm-hmm. Please. Sign me up. I wanted to run track. She's like, come.
Yeah.
And then we went to the dungeon. Mm-hmm. We sat there and we met this girl named Tanika. And I was like, this lady's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've been friends since. Mm.
Yeah. Well, also, you started the cheerleading team. So how did that happen?
So I came to Brooklyn for my master's degree.
Also, do you agree with everything that was just said about you?
It's accurate. Mm-hmm. It's accurate. That's how we grow and evolve and how we know that we have grown and evolved. Mm-hmm. So came to Brooklyn by way of Colorado and was doing my master's degree and was bored and said, is there something else I could do? And so found out that they didn't have a cheer team but had a basketball team. So inquired through the proper channels and saw this beautiful blue room gym that was outfitted for a cheer team. And they gave me the go ahead and did what we did, and then 16 years later, retired. Mm. There's a story right there. don't worry about all the other stuff in between. But started the team and started with like 14. With Shirley was on that team, and then the following year, Allison came in her basketball shorts and her Jordans to practice. And I was like, all right, well, here we go. Let's figure this out. So
when you guys were all cheering together, did you know, like, was there an immediate bond, the three of you guys, or...
Well, for clarity, we didn't cheer together. So Coach T was our coach, right? And so Shirley and I were on the team together under her.
Right.
Did we know that we would grow and evolve and continue our friendship and start our own
program? Like, was there a connection of friend? No.
Well, yeah, we were friends.
Right.
And I am
also an age and stuff.
But I mean, to your point, though, like that it would like...
Sorry. Is that bad?
What?
I was closer in age?
I was 23. I'm not offended.
That's fine. Okay. No, but I just mean like to your point of like, oh, that like there's some bond here, we're gonna stay friends for a long time, or did you just think it was gonna be, you know, just cheer and like it was just gonna end at cheer?
I don't think that we thought about it in advance.
Right.
No.
And we weren't friends while we were her athletes. So at least I can say that like straight away because I respect authority and so if you are my superior, then you are my superior. You are Coach Tanika. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, no ma'am. Mm-hmm. Even if I have on my basketball shorts and my Jordans, right, there's a line.
Right.
And so even after we left, I would say there was still probably a year or two of buffer time before we then developed a friendship where I could share like more personal things.
Right. Yeah. So how did that change?
I just think over time, because you know, there's a separation, there's a gap, and now we are closer in age than Shirley likes to say, right? And we have similar experiences. And then also thinking about that, Tanika's older. She's more advanced mm-hmm. in her life, right? Mm-hmm. So she has her own apartment and mm-hmm. all those things. And so now we're getting to an age where we're looking for our right. own spaces mm-hmm. and we have more in common now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So then if you guys were, okay, on the cheer team together, wasn't, you know, weren't necessarily friends, like, I guess I'm curious to know, like, what was a catalyst to kind of maybe turn it into a friendship? Because you're like, okay, this is just my coach. We're done. I'm done with cheerleading. I'm done with college. You know, you normally would just kind of say goodbye to your coach, but like something kept you guys around and connected still.
Charles?
I guess good friendship. I don't know. When I got to college, the first thing I thought was like, how am I going to make friends here? Mm-hmm. Sports. That's mm-hmm. my thing. I like to be on sports. So once I was on the sports team mm-hmm. and I kind of like acquired all these friends, I'm mm-hmm. just like, well, I want to keep them in my life. They're mm-hmm. around for a reason. Yeah. So let me just continue to work on being mm-hmm. friends with these people. Mm-hmm. And I just continue to develop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, based on my understanding of the story,
yeah.
that Coach T was doing her master's program, mm-hmm. inundated by rules and regulations by Brooklyn College, mm-hmm. and needed support. Mm-hmm. And so Shirls, after graduating, joined mm-hmm. as a co-coach mm-hmm. or assistant coach mm-hmm. to Coach Tanika, mm-hmm. right? I'm calling Coach Tanika because that's where we are in this moment, right?
Right?
And then, I don't know, like 2 or 3 years after that, I remember having a conversation with now my friend Tanika, mm-hmm. and she's like, I'm overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. This is too much. Mm-hmm. I need to take a break. We're like, no, T, the team needs you. Mm-hmm. Like, Brooklyn College needs you. Cheerleading in New York City needs right. you. What can we do to support you so that you don't leave? Mm-hmm. And so that's when I joined as an assistant to Tanika.
Gotcha.
I think that's what allowed us to reunite again after mm-hmm. graduating. Mm-hmm. T, is that accurate?
That's pretty accurate. I think, like, providing that outlet when you find something that you love, right? Mm-hmm. So I knew probably in high school and then going through college that I love cheer, which mm-hmm. is why when I came to Brooklyn College mm-hmm. and I was bored mm-hmm. and was like, what else can I do? I'm mm-hmm. a graduate student. So it's not the same as being an undergrad and finding those different clubs or niches or having friends mm-hmm. from, you know, from your neighborhood right. or from elementary school. So when they're leaving and they find that they're finding that this is something that they love, how mm-hmm. do they stay involved? And mm-hmm. there weren't many options. Like mm-hmm. now there's so many coaching options. There's right. so many different outlets that you can find from 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, why not ask them, hey, do you want to come and coach? Mm-hmm. I'd love to have you here. One, it will help me. Mm-hmm. Two, it'll help feed your passion, your desire, and your growth in the sport and in life, right? Because mm-hmm. then now you're a leader mm-hmm. and you're getting to teach and learn and grow and mm-hmm. watch other people do those things where you were in their shoes at one point in time.
Right.
And then I would say too, one point was when I think we brought Allison came in right after the loss, which we don't like to talk about too often. So that's when
we're
I was like
about,
in the dark room by myself.
A competition loss.
It felt like that. And so Allison was like, nah, we got to come back and we mm-hmm. have to, you know.
I'm glad that you added that because when T was talking, she's talking about the love and the passion. And I'm like, that's not my story.
Yeah, no.
That wasn't my story. My story was my friend needs help to fix this wrong that has been done against
us. Injustice.
Yes, it's injustice. Right. And I am a part of the legacy of Brooklyn College, and I'm not going to allow our legacy to go astray.
Right.
So my drive really had to do with helping my friend to support her to fix what I'm a part of and what she's a part of.
Right.
And then
right.
cheerleading is like secondary. If she was the coach of handball and we were wronged as the Brooklyn College handball team, I would have been like, nah, we got to fix this.
Yeah.
I'm attached to this and I don't like this feeling.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you do have an episode which we go into much more detail about it, but I do feel like one of the things that you do so well is like, you know, I was, you know, coached under you too. And I just feel like so many people who've been coached under you, like this program has, there is so many friendships. Like we're all friends because we cheer together and like there's such a longevity. I mean, even like I feel like even younger folks too, like, you know, there's some sort of a bond and connection. But I don't know, it's, I think a lot of your work that you were able to just like bring people together in that way and continue this friendship, so.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, check out her episode. She goes into more detail.
Season one.
So, I mean, okay, so I know you said helping your friend was primary and then cheerleading is secondary. So where does this idea of starting now a cheerleading business team, you know, an all-star team, Like, where does that come from? Mm-hmm.
I can say for me, and I think I'm speaking accurately for all of us mm-hmm. here, is that every year when we started our new team mm-hmm. and we had our tryouts.
At Brooklyn College.
Yeah. We had these athletes who had drive and desire, but not necessarily the most skilled.
Huh.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
And I feel really bad at the time for Coach Tanika because she's coming with all of this experience and know-how mm-hmm. and so many athletes who are cheering from the age of 5 mm-hmm. to come to New York City, and then folks don't necessarily have that skill set. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like starting from the ground up every mm-hmm. single time. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine you're teaching 18, 19, 20-year-olds things that 5-year-olds know back in Colorado, right? And so that's a frustrating process. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so once Coach T decided that she wanted to move on from Brooklyn College, we all were moving on from Brooklyn College,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then we said to ourselves, we need to create an avenue where athletes who are much younger mm. are learning these skills. Mm-hmm. And so when they move on to high school and college, they can mm-hmm. really contribute to their team, and we can grow and develop cheerleading mm-hmm. as a sport, activity, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, mm-hmm. in New York City overall.
I see. Yeah.
So that was really our mission, mm. was to develop athletes from much younger on mm-hmm. so that poor coaches don't have to go through this process of teaching old people
skills
and things that they should have mm-hmm. potentially learned when they were much younger.
Right. But so what's the importance of them learning these skills, though? Like, why was it so important that they did learn? I mean, regardless of, I mean, besides the fact that it's to help, you know.
Help the coach? Yeah, help the coach. Help the coach.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think if you think of life and your own, and taking your own internal view, mm-hmm. is that as you grow, your fears settle more mm. and you find that there's things that are more fearful. So like at 22, deciding to move to New York was like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. I have no fear. If I'm going to move today, it's like, oh my God, well, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Do I have health insurance? Am I going to have a job? What is the, you know, mm-hmm. the financial ratios? And so when you're younger at 5, you have no fear. Mm-hmm. Teaching somebody to do a forward roll at 18 to 22 is very frustrating. A 5-year-old, Trey will forward roll all over the house. Mm-hmm. He doesn't mm-hmm. care. He'll forward roll off the bed and then look at me mm-hmm. and he'll be okay.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is taking that element out mm-hmm. and making sure that they are not fearful and building that confidence and working on their flexibility mm-hmm. and just the skill development. Like mm-hmm. there's so much, they're sponges, you know, and, mm. and then you take that fear element out of it
right.
and now they feel like they can do anything. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, being young and more agile and mm-hmm. fit mm-hmm. and those wonderful things. But
yeah.
definitely 18, 19, 20-year-olds are frustrating mm-hmm. to start all over with. But there is the satisfaction at the end of the season mm-hmm. of seeing the growth. But that's also 4 or 5 days a week of practice for 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, you know, there was that advantage. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have that, mm-hmm. or that we wouldn't have been successful mm-hmm. or as successful, mm-hmm. I would say.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to know, because I don't know this for myself either, though, is like, how did the conversation come about? Because there were other friends and people who are coaching too. So like, how did the three of you come together to say, let's start this?
I feel like it was random for me, no?
What would I say for me, no?
Yeah. I feel like the conversation constantly happened.
It was an ongoing conversation.
I remember having a conversation maybe during the year where I was not coaching at Brooklyn College with T. Maybe I was sitting at a basketball game with her, and she was talking about starting a program. And to me, I was thinking, you know, like when you're listening to your friends and you're just like, okay, she wants to start a program. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she came from mm-hmm. Colorado. This is something she wants to start. I can mm-hmm. help her with this. Nothing mm-hmm. serious. And you just kind of wait to see if it actually rolls out. I don't know, for me. So when the things started going, I was just like, oh, okay, so mm-hmm. she really wants to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly how the conversation came about, though, but I remember it had to do with basketball. We were probably sitting at a basketball game, and we were talking about it.
Mm.
There were other people part of it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't remember specifically either.
No, I think a lot of it comes from, like, traveling outside of New York City, too, and seeing other competitions and seeing, well, here's this niche. Here's all-star cheerleading or recreation cheerleading,
right.
And they're starting younger, and there isn't there. This is missing. It's kind of void in New York City
right.
for amazing reasons, like real estate
yeah.
and affording rent.
Right.
But So how do we make that happen? Mm. And also kind of like to curb my frustration of teaching so late, how do we make that happen? So it was like constant conversations, I think, that may have just happened in pockets. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, let's go to the diner let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. And are you in?
Yeah.
It was kind of like, let's make this happen. And then as
was it always Allison and Shirley?
There was Ornisha.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't think that it was necessarily, it was a constant conversation. So it would have been like, especially as people came through the coaching staff. So with Tanya, I'm sure I've had the conversation with Tanya. I'm sure I've had the conversation with Julia, Farhana. I don't know. I could probably go on for days just about, well, would this make sense? And then it was like, well, you know, let's look at it as a business and how can we start this? And then talking with people when I would go down to South Carolina or to conferences to be like, well, you know, what do you do? I remember talking with Elaine Pascal at World Cup and just saying, how did you get this going? And some of her coaches. And so it was like, okay, well, I get it. And she, I remember.
What was her advice? Like, what was some of the first things you, what was like the first thing she said you should do?
The one thing that sticks out in our conversation was you're not going to make money.
Oh.
And that was
right off the bat.
Off the bat. She said, if you think that you're going to get into All-Star Cheer to make money, that's not the avenue. Like, don't, that's not the mindset that you want to have. You want to think like that you are going to help people. If you find and are able to get your own facility, your money comes off of birthday parties and rentals and those and privates. So that was super important information to know, because you don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to have, going to have this All-Star gym and we're going to make so much money, because the money that comes in goes right back out the door so quickly. So I think having that, it was such a key piece of advice, because if not, I probably would have been disappointed and frustrated like day zero.
Right.
Did she tell you that?
No. I don't know. No, but initially I knew, sorry. I agree, because when we was at Brooklyn College, it was a hard time. It was really hard for us to build the talent. Yep. Not to, only because, like, you know, it had to do with a lot of people going out on their own and practicing, right? So the fact that when we started All-Star, we weren't making money, like, ooh, look, I'm making money on my side business. It was just like, okay, I understand that. It's going to take a long time to build. It took us 10 years to build what happened at Brooklyn College, you know? Right. So I didn't expect anything
to happen right away.
I didn't expect to be having, like, to have so much money coming in or money at all coming in. I thought, okay, this is an awesome opportunity to create a business with my friends and then have be able to mentor kids from the ages 5 and up, and I want to do this. So why not?
I feel like you have a story.
And then I was mentored, you know, so I was just like, why wouldn't somebody want me to be mentored?
Yeah, but I think we'd all value you as our mentor.
But it was. I don't think initially it was about, oh, we're gonna make money off of this. I thought it was more about like, we want to develop these kids and have a program that's like awesome. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? Pristine in Brooklyn, so people could be like, I want to go to the All Star program in Brooklyn,
right?
And stuff. And it's just perfect.
Something for the kids to be proud of.
Yeah, and it's awesome that it started off at Brooklyn College. You know,
Yeah, kind of like what you were saying too. You're like, you came back to help because you had pride in the team that you were a part of.
Yes.
Kind of like bring that same element to Iconic.
Yep, absolutely. But
were you thinking about a story? Because I saw you like smiling.
Oh no, I was just All Star money. You know, I don't know if I knew that before. That's all.
Would that have changed your involvement?
No.
Okay.
Because I was young and dumb. 6 years ago.
I was about to say, I think if you asked if it would change you now.
Yeah.
Now,
maybe
yes.
Different.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. So, I mean, that's kind of surprising because, well, I guess I'm curious to know, like, where is all the money going to then? Because, we know firsthand, like, cheerleading is very expensive. You know, the equipment, the gear, the licenses, the certificates, all, I mean, it is a lot of money. So
their insurance.
Yeah, right. And so, like, when you do have money coming in, I mean, yeah, money coming in from, like, the athletes and stuff, like, where, like, why doesn't it make money? Like, where is that money, like, going to, I guess?
Rent.
Right.
Uniforms.
Really?
competitions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say equipment because that's usually a part of the gym space that you're right. in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But renting the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. To use the equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then there's insurance and everything that you mentioned as well. But the big expense?
Yeah.
Rent.
Is rent. Oh, and wow. then I would say right behind that is going to come competition fees. Mm-hmm. And I think as we're all experiencing now in 2021, 22, is inflation and understanding that everything is going to go up. Cost of everything is going up. So right. I just got the uniforms that we're designing. I just got them back. And they're like $500.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did you know this?
No, I did not. They did not know that. They saw that. They saw initial designs that weren't that much, but I still wanted, there was something missing. So I was like, can you please do this? Yeah. And then I opened up the email, I think yesterday on my way home, and I was like, oh,
that's $500. One uniform.
One uniform. Wow. So when we're looking at also understanding that, you know, we want, we're also catering, and part of the mission is to get kids who would not be able to normally participate in this high expensive sport to allow them this opportunity. Yeah. Well, how do we allow them to do that, but also not go in with a t-shirt and shorts on?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
We don't want to go back to 2004 when we started. Some ribbon, right? We don't want to go back there, right? Uh-huh. But how do, so not only do we have to look at our overhead and look at our costs, but we also have to make sure that we are providing a service that is going to keep us competitive with the world, right? In New York City, in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So it's, there's so many pieces. So our, the money that comes in, when we say it goes right back out, it goes right back out. There's certain costs that we are, that the parents are almost paying directly to the companies that we're paying because we're not adding extra on top of that, those prices.
Yeah.
And we're also always in competition with other sports. Like, New York has a big variety of things that you can do. So it's like, okay, we could do cheer, we could do karate, we could do basketball. So kids have like so many variety of things to do every single day. So it's like, how can I just commit to cheer?
Yeah.
How can I just commit to this? So the parents are asking them, which one do you want, you know?
So how do you get kids or, you know, parents to want to send their kids to Iconic?
Word of mouth. Walking the streets in the summertime, handing out flyers.
That's Coach Cheryl's.
That's Coach Cheryl's. I was like, that's all you. Uh-huh. Open practice.
It's a lot of word of mouth. Like, making sure you know, you have, like, advertisements on when we're walking the streets, we're going to a park, we're going to a family event. Just a lot of word of mouth.
Right, right.
Teaching them right there and then at the party so the parents can see you like, oh, she's actually
that's also, again, cultural.
Yep.
Like, no way. She's at the park recruiting children. Children come out.
If I see kids, I'm like,
yes, she is.
Iconic. She's like, she's automatic. I'm like, I need this kid on the team. Yeah. So we try to push as much as we can. Like, so fall in love. Like, Mom, I need to go to more steps. Like, But it's hard because they have a variety of things to do all the time.
Right. So what happened?
I looked right into the camera. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's totally fine. It's okay. This is very casual and informal. Don't worry about it. Okay, let's go back to, you had that conversation. What was her name again?
Elaine,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then so she said, you're not going to make money. You know, this is really for, to help the kids. Like, then, like, what was the next step from there?
Do you have capital, I guess?
Huh? Yeah, capital saved up to like start the business or like raising money or.
Capital.
Business plan.
I had some other conversations with people in the industry that I had respect for. And then when we started to talk about it, we were like, well, how much are we going to put in? How much investment are we going to invest into this?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like astronomical. I would say that it was less than $1,000 for each of us.
Okay, just to
say,
get started.
Yeah, just to get started to say, okay, let's get, you know, the domain name or let's, you know, like getting the email was not difficult. I think we started with a Wix page and then bought out the domain and okay, we get some business cards from Vistaprint. You know, very like, this is pre any type of serious social media push on how to start a business, right? So this was kind of like
mom and pop, grab your encyclopedia, let's open up to page. Like,
we had Google.
I'm going back. I want to make it points.
Yes.
And then, you know, then just going to conferences. We went to the All-Star Conference, USASF Conference, learned more there, some valuable stuff we cannot share on this podcast. Sorry. And then, so it wasn't necessarily about capital. Today, it would be about capital. Absolutely.
Okay. Alrighty.
Yeah. Or finding a sugar daddy. 917. I don't even know our phone number. Any investors, we're just looking for a building.
Yes.
5,000 square feet, 30-foot ceilings. Thank you.
Facts.
Hey, plug it away.
In Brooklyn. Away. In Brooklyn.
Yeah. So you guys are starting this business. How do you guys divide roles and responsibilities as friends? Like, how,
That's tricky.
We just had a conversation about where our strengths were and what we'd like to do. So, like, with Tanika, when she mentioned the uniform thing, like, she's a visionary. She's a fashionista. She's made all of our custom gear.
I am not really. I'm a fashionista in mind.
And practicality, clearly, right?
Well, those girls, remember when you first came to Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah, with the bell bottoms.
Hey, they're hot. Now I'm still trying to find them. Different low rise.
So, like, that's her area of expertise. She already had experience in the All-Star area and field, so she did competitions, and so I liked communication, so I would be like, okay, I'm going to be the point person for that and social media, and then we realized that Shirley wasn't doing enough, so then Shirley took over social media
and fundraising,
and fundraising, and so we just kind of go with the flow of where our strengths are and where our desires are, and then if things need to shift accordingly, then we shift them accordingly. If someone needs support, then we take it over.
Gotcha. Has that evolved over time, roles and responsibilities?
Not much.
No.
Yeah, it's also about, like, what you want to let go, you know, because sometimes you have, like, a hold on certain things that you like doing, so you don't want to give that up.
Yeah. Was there something you had to give up doing?
No.
So running a business, I mean, is challenging in itself because, like, you know, well, what makes it easier in corporate offices is there's a hierarchy. There's a chain of command, so you kind of know, like, this is the steps we take. But, like, I imagine running a business with friends could sometimes get a little dicey because, you know, part of where, you know, even for me personally trying to do my own thing, it's like, well, I don't want to have to consult someone else. I just want to do my own. And we've talked about this, too, with Align with Allison. That, you know, what's nice about it is your autonomy. You can move quicker, make decisions faster without having to consult other people. Like, how do you guys make decisions together on, like, what's next for the business? And it may at times, especially when you guys disagree.
So even though we're all-star cheer, it's not a cheerocracy, right? So we vote. We vote. We have a group chat. The group chat goes all day and all night, and we make decisions that way. And sometimes folks are outvoted and we don't like it. Coach Shirls likes to think that Tanika and I, like, have a chat outside the group or something, and we just...
Because they're iPhone users, and I know they like to have that little green list.
This is not about an iPhone, however.
So, but this, sometimes I'm outvoted too, and I don't like it, but I got to suck it up. And actually, I think, like, this season, I've come to the realization I need to stop fighting against the stuff that I know that they're going to outvote me for all the time. So just shut up and roll with it.
Gotcha.
I've gotten better at just shutting up and rolling with stuff.
Wait, so what is, like, okay, so did you guys agree that this was going to be, like, the democracy?
Yeah, it only made sense.
From the beginning, you guys established that.
Yep.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you just need to shut up and go along with?
Okay, so one of the policies that I've been staunchly against is, but it does make sense, is allowing people on the floor if they are, like, allowing pre-athletes or potential athletes on the floor if they're not registered. Like, I don't want anybody on our floor unless they are
on the mat.
Unless they're registered, right? However, lots of programs will do, like, a free class, which means that the person didn't register and they're just trying it out. They love the free class. I don't. And every year we get into it. Yeah. And then this year I'm like, why am I fighting? The numbers are never going to change. These two are always going to be for it. I'm always going to be against it. So next season. I promise. I started this season.
But we also, I think that we retained most of the people who came on for a trial. Stayed. I don't think that there was anybody who...
Well, this season we've lost some people. I don't know. Younger ones.
Younger ones. Okay. I don't...
So how do you guys maintain, like, your friendship and your business relationships?
There's a nice divide.
Really?
There's a line.
What's the line? How do you establish that line?
You just say, like, you know, I don't want to talk about this right now.
I think you just have to change your hat. Mm. I just, there's certain things where if I am like Allison, mm. I can't say for certain, surely, I am an emotional person. Mm. I'm a cancer truant, all mm. of that, all the nature of cancer. Mm. If I hold my feelings in the business, then I'm never going to be happy there.
What do you mean hold your feelings
in the business? Like if I take the personal side. So when they agree and it's I'm outvoted, if I'm going to sit in the corner and cry about it because I don't like the decision that was made and then I now don't look at them and I'm like, I don't like you. That's not, you know what I mean? So there's a divide. Mm-hmm. There's a saying, okay, this is business and what's best for the business versus what's best for my friendship. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know what I'm saying? So I personally keep a divide because I know that if I don't, then I'm just not gonna be happy.
Meaning, like, if you're upset about something that happened in the business, and then now you're upset outside the business in your friendship, then that's where like it gets, you know,
murky.
Murky and unhealthy.
Nobody wants that.
Mm-hmm. Is that like, the same for you guys too? The line in that way.
I don't think a business could actually mess up my friendship. Mm. You know, with people. Mm. You know, I think God puts people in your life for a certain reason. You mm-hmm. learn from them. If they serve their time, they serve their time, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in a business aspect, a friendship, whatever ship you're on, right? Mm-hmm. But I think voicing your opinion to your friend, like you have to be able to voice your opinion to your friend, or why even call them your friend, whether it's in a business or not. Mm. Sometimes you might have to say, hey, let's talk iconic wise, and then, sorry, the wise, and let's talk friendship wise, and just have to have a nice line between there, like, and don't straddle. Sometimes I straddle, but.
For me, we have a group chat. We talk about the business in the group chat. Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about our friendship stuff in the group chat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so
in the business group chat.
Yeah. And then, I guess any group chat that we're in, it's about the business. Mm-hmm. And then when I want to talk to my friend, even though I jokingly now do call her Coach Shirls, like that is her name. Mm-hmm. That's only because we work with little kids. And so I constantly have to say, well, Coach Shirls, what do you think? And Coach Shirls, but I'll just call Shirley, I'll call Tanique on the side when we want to talk about our own shenanigans.
Right.
Yeah, but
right.
when it comes to the group, it just stays there.
Mm-hmm. But does ever like personal matters like seep into the business? In the sense of like maybe you know what was going on or what happened, or maybe let's say if someone's late, right? You're like, I know that they were out late last night or something like anything like that.
I feel like we might text in the group, but I don't know.
No, I don't think we're irresponsible. Mm-hmm. So if someone's not late because they were drunk or someone's not late because of whatever, I know I have a personal pet peeve about lateness and I'm usually on time and sometimes they're not. But again, as you evolve, you start to let things go. That's one of the things I've let go. Mm-hmm. So instead of me being upset with folks being late, maybe sometimes I'll be late. like you can't control people, right? So you just gotta chill sometimes. Right. Just fall like back
accepting
and chill.
That about your friends and the people you work with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's nothing like against Nico or against Shirley. Mm-hmm. It's I am annoyed about the fact that I'm alone in this gym with these kids for one more minute than what I wanna be.
Right. Yeah. Right. So okay, so now how long has Iconic been around
for? This is our sixth season.
Mm-hmm. Sixth season, so that's 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Super season six.
What I guess, you know, 6 years now. You know, this is a new arena of your friendship, which is starting a business together, running a business together. Anything that you guys learned about each other over the 6 years that you didn't know or maybe have evolved?
No. Does that mean we haven't grown as human beings?
No. But I'm just wondering, like, in, you know, I just feel like there's in business and when business and money is involved, like, you know, it's not because of business and money, but it's just one of those elements where you do see a different side of a person, like your work side and then like your play side, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it all depends on how much you value money and making money. Not saying that people don't value making it, like, you know, having investment and it come procuring money, but I don't know. I think throughout the years, I learn and observe my friends, and I just continue to enjoy them in my life. I don't know. I just enjoy being around them.
Mm. I think Shirley's become more mature in the business.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She's not showing it right now. But Coach T is Tanika. Like, who she is as a person is a part of her coaching style, and I think that's why she's successful as a coach, because she's a like, she doesn't play. She's not playing with you. She's here to do the work and have fun. Mm-hmm. But do the work, number one, and have fun, like, super secondarily, right? And I am who I am, too, like, super straight shooter. So I don't think so.
No. I mean, I think we've all learned and grown, and I think surviving, that's my favorite phrase, surviving COVID and still being able to grow the business after. Because we took a hit, and that was, I think, more emotionally exhausting at times last season of, well, how do we get in the gym and what do we do and are we going to be able to survive? And now we're only here. And there's all these things that come in. I don't necessarily think that it played into our friendship or our roles, but it definitely was like either we're going to sink or we're going to swim. Yeah. And what decisions do we need to make in order to continue to have the business? And there's always tough conversations. Shirley will tell us every season that she wants one big team.
I sure do.
Every season. She hasn't let go of that. She hasn't let go of that. Maybe after this she will, but every season.
I think it's cool to have like a one program overall routine. So just in case we decide to do a parade, it's like pull everybody
I like
up.
The idea, yeah.
And you know, let's do this shenanigan together.
Yeah.
Which will be Barclays.
Like a giant, like,
you know.
Yeah.
So
we have the opportunity, but you know, it's. We're here.
I do love it. There are some stunts that I want too, but you know, the babies can't do it. So I'm like, Tanika, please put this in the routine.
Oh. I can't believe we made it.
What do you mean?
But like through COVID. I cannot. I thought about it yesterday.
What about it?
Well, being.
How many businesses that were thriving more than us, making lots of money than us, they're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Like, I really can't. I think about it all the time, like once a week.
I can't
believe that we've survived.
What do you attribute to that? Like, why do you think you guys survived?
And I don't even believe in luck. I really don't know. I don't know.
I think part of it is the relationship we have with Peter at Brooklyn Gymnastics and just kind of understanding him and his style and then having some heart-to-heart conversations about COVID and his business struggling. But him, I think what's nice is that Peter has a sense of business, but also knows how to toe the line very well. And so he sees what we're doing and he sees the promise and he sees the growth and works with us. And I think that was major. And then also knowing that frustration, like we're both contact sports. Right. So how are we going to get through this together?
Yeah.
Because if I grow, you guys can stay, or if I'm able to stay open, you guys stay open. If Peter had closed, we wouldn't be having this conversation. You wouldn't be interviewing
That's
us.
That's very insightful. I never thought about that.
Yeah, I think he's been, he's very conservative. He's very about his money. And I appreciate, it's probably one of the one things that I appreciate and learn from him the most in having a business. So, yeah.
So if you're going to give advice to someone else, you know, who wanted to start a business.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
No, not unless you can. I thought you were gonna say an all-star gym.
Oh,
okay. Then I realized you were gonna say with friends.
Oh, okay, yeah. Never mind. I was like, wow.
Well, with friends, yes.
Well,
all-star.
I mean,
don't
well,
do
I
it.
That question is twofold. I do want to ask about with friends and also starting a business, because I do think, you know, I'm sure there is a level of luck involved, but I'm sure you guys have also learned along the way, like, you know, if someone else came to you and said, I want to start an all-star team too, like what were some maybe like key things that you need to nurture or do in order for your business to stay viable and to be successful?
Are they rich?
Like, I don't know. Why? Does that matter?
Yeah.
If they're not, especially in New York City.
Yeah.
I think New York City
is why. It's different.
That's why there's not, it's not just about, the real estate, right? That's one element, is the price of the real estate. The other is finding the real estate.
Right.
And
well, that's what I mean, though. You guys have done it, though. Like, this is an all-star. It's an expensive sport. You're in New York City.
We
worked
it out.
We're here.
Yeah,
but ideally, 6 years ago, it was, we need our own space. We need our own space. Right. We need our own space. Today, it's, we still need our own space.
Yeah.
It's the same problem.
We really wanted to be in Brooklyn. That's the thing, too.
And what does that mean? Like, having our own space means who's going to compromise your other outside hours? Like, right now, it really works well because we can give and have other things.
Right.
Align with Allison can exist. Mm-hmm. Sincerely Me can exist. Mm-hmm. Cheers Tea can exist. Yeah. So those things can happen. Mom Tea can exist. Mm-hmm. If we have our own real estate,
yeah.
Who's doing the birthday parties? Who's doing the rentals? Who's going to be there for that? And not saying that we couldn't hire somebody to do that, sure. But as most people...
It changes the business.
It changes the business. Mm-hmm. And most people would say... When you start up a business or you start something, you make a change in your business, a lot of those hours come back to you because you can't afford, you know, now we have a $7,000-$8,000 rent per month. Mm-hmm. And then how are you going to pay somebody at a living wage? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're not talking $7 an hour to run a front desk or to do, and getting volunteers has been great, but we're not at a place where that even makes sense anymore to have volunteers. We have to pay people. Right. We have to pay ourselves. So I think that that's like the biggest challenge. And that's what I would say to anybody who's going to start an all-star gym, like just make sure you look at all of the overhead and what you can afford and
either have cash to sustain you or maybe have a space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or sugar daddy. 917.
Making sure that the people that you're going into the business with has some type of like longevity plan, like in their mind also. Because, you know, people could look at the business plan and say, oh, that sounds good. And then they're not putting in any type of effort at all from their aspect because of the fact that you, the one that decided to bring up the idea, you know? So just make sure that the person you decide to have the business with is also business oriented.
Everyone's on the same page and aligned. Yeah. Do you recommend, because, you know, they always say, I feel like with businesses, like, don't do business with friends. Don't do business with friends and family. Like, that's kind of like what you always like hear. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys are doing it. Obviously, it's going well. You guys are still very good friends. I'm going to ask, like, do you recommend it to start a business with friends or?
I'm not for or against it in either direction. I don't believe in that of don't do business with friends or don't do it with family. That I do not believe.
Why?
I just think, well, first of all, doing business with friends on a short term, like not like us where we're business partners, but on a short term, I want to support my friends. Mm-hmm. So I want to get my cakes from Shirley and I want to get my custom gear from Tanika. Why would I not want to, if I'm going to buy those things anyway, why would I not want to support my friends, right? Mm-hmm. Secondly, I think you need to be a good judge of character. So if I believe that Shirley's not going to show up with my cake for my wedding, then I won't buy from her. Like I need to take responsibility for the fact that I know my friends and I know that they will show up for me. Mm-hmm. So I'll, right? On a long term, I also don't see it as problematic. I know my friends are not going to steal from me. Mm-hmm. I have some friends who may. Those are the friends I won't go into business with. Mm-hmm. I have some family who may steal. I'm not going to go with them. Right. But not because they're my friends or my family, I wouldn't go into business with them. Mm-hmm. That's why I say I'm not for or against in any direction. What I would say one of the challenges of going into business with your friends is that you can't leave as easily as you would if it wasn't your friend. Like a long-term partner or a husband or a wife, right? Like if a wife or a husband or your long-term partner pisses you off, you're gonna be less inclined to walk out the door versus a little boyfriend or a little girlfriend.
Right.
I'm not gonna be, if they got me mad and they were strangers, I might be inclined to say, F this, I'm out.
Right.
I like my friends. So I'm not gonna just, every time I get upset, it's the end of the world and I'm just gonna walk out. I'm gonna work it out to the best of my ability because I wanna maintain my friendships with my friends.
Right. I bet that's probably a good thing and a bad thing because it's like, that also, because one of the things with businesses too is about the persistence and the consistency over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So like, if, you know, maybe it wasn't your friend and you quit a long time, maybe you wouldn't be here at year six because you already left, you know? So it's like both and type of situation.
Yeah.
What about you, Tanika? Like starting business with friends, any words of advice or thoughts on that?
I don't know that I have anything necessarily to add. Mm-hmm. I would say just, I think that the communication is so important. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that I'm thankful for, and I've expressed this to both of them too, is like when you do start business with friends and you have life events that happen, it's great that they support you. Mm-hmm. Having Trayson and, you know, like they were some of the first people to know I was pregnant. And I remember like when I told them, Allison's like, why are you telling us it's not time, you know? But I was like, no, because when I have him, we are going to be in competition season and I know I'm not going to be around. So let's start today on how we're going to prepare.
We were at Coney Island. She made us nice cards. We got t-shirts. It was really nice. And I'm like, it's not the second trimester yet. You're not supposed to tell us.
Anyway, but I knew that I told them, I mean, I would have wanted to tell them anyway, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I knew I had to tell them for the business as mm-hmm. well. And then just having that support and it yeah. like, I mean, now I look back at it in mm-hmm. hindsight, like it was super easy, mm-hmm. a lot easier than it is now with a 2.5-year-old running yeah. around and trying to and do things for the business. It's very difficult.
Right.
But I think it's just that communication and understanding and supporting mm-hmm. when things are difficult for Shirley mm-hmm. or difficult for Allison or difficult for me, like mm-hmm. supporting each other and lifting each other up. I think that's probably where being friends mm-hmm. and being business partners is a asset.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I didn't know them, I'd be like, oh, well, nobody told you to have a baby.
Right.
Make sure those registrations are done. Right. And we expect, mm-hmm. 3 days after you're out of the hospital, we expect you to be mm-hmm. in Wildwood or Atlantic City, you know? So there's just a difference.
Yeah.
There's a big
That's
difference.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. I definitely would have said that about somebody else. mm-hmm. And I didn't dream of saying that with Tanika because right. I know, oh, Tanika's having a baby. That's yeah. It's a boy. But if this was a colleague, I don't care about you and your family. Yeah. You got a job to do. Right. Absolutely. That's what I would say yep. if it was a regular colleague.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, don't bring him to the gym. He's mm-hmm. distracting. Yeah. Like
he's a liability. don't even think about it.
Right. Yeah.
Says the lady who doesn't want a person on the floor, right? That's absolutely, I never thought about that before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, you have to weigh it out mm-hmm. and you have to make the decisions that are best for you. And then mm-hmm. I think there's also a good conversation to have at the beginning is an exit strategy. Mm. So if we're feeling like this isn't working, then we need to know we can come to the table and say, hey, I want out and we have that conversation. Like on paper, we have percentages of the company that we own. We are mm-hmm. all liable for the taxes. There's right. more to it than just like, let's come into Allison's house and craft and make some crafts. You right. know, like it's bigger than that.
Right.
There's the making sure that we set up the corporation correctly so mm-hmm. that we are not liable, mm-hmm. but our business is liable. Like there's a lot of conversations that have to go into starting a business in general and then starting a business with your friends.
Right.
And just making sure you cover all your bases.
Right.
But, I mean, I wouldn't change it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a fourth owner.
Oh, had?
Yeah. Oh. Well, I guess on paper, we still have a fourth owner. You might want to edit that. No. I was going to say.
It started as four.
We were talking about, like, you know, exit strategies yeah. and stuff right. like that. So it was a really nice, easy conversation in regards to, you know, school.
Because you already had it in place.
Process yeah. and everything. Yeah. And, you know, mm-hmm. we're still friends.
Right.
And not anticipating that it would happen. Right.
right
so,
right.
like, you start it and you're like, oh, yeah. we're going to be doing mm-hmm. all this great stuff together. And then life happens.
Right.
Like I said, life happens. Different things come up. Mm-hmm. So it's how to, you know, when
how do you move forward?
We had somebody
like
exit.
That.
Okay, I'll sign off on the papers right, and here's da 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 da. If we had something to sell or would you buy, you know, like
sure.
then great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's like doing a lot of the work on the front end when like things are neutral, things are, you know, it's not emotional, things aren't involved.
Yep.
And then like when that time comes, it's like, oh, we can reference back to this
Absolutely.
Plan we had. I mean, you can shift, I'm sure, but kind of coming back to it.
And somebody said to us, probably one of the first, probably the first conference.
I was
we
waiting
went to.
For you to say this.
Yeah, this lady was like, "Oh, you guys are friends now," and we were like, "Oh," and yeah. she was like, "I would never go into business with my friends," and we were just like, "No, we're." I mean, it was a cocktail hour, so we were having and we were feeling good,
yeah.
we were excited and so fresh eyed about it, and we were like, "No." And I would say, like, through 6 years, like. There's been tough conversations.
Mm.
There's been some yelling. Shirley usually gets all of the brunt of my yelling of things that happen. Yeah, she doesn't really care.
She
but,
doesn't yell.
Oh, no, you're saying.
No, I do.
No, she's saying when she's yelling.
When I'm usually upset, I'm yelling.
She's upset.
Towards Shirley.
Oh, yeah, and I'm
oh
just
not
like,
at Shirley.
Not, but it's not Shirley. It's just that Shirley ends up, Allison's in Jamaica. Right. I can't call Allie
yeah,
to yell about what I'm frustrated about.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'm going to call
yeah.
Shirley to be like, ah!
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, Tanika yeah. Simmons is not abusive, guys.
Yeah. No,
no, I'm not abusive.
No, so you just think about, okay, this is my friend. She's venting, she's upset right now.
Right.
How much of this can I take?
Really?
It's my friend. Yeah.
I mean, how much of it can
Yeah, because
you
have to think about your mental space, too, and how much
yeah,
you could actually receive when, how am I going to help my friend if I'm not in the right space? I might spaz back on her, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I got to think about, why is she actually upset? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're outnumbered, or mm-hmm. the kids are wilding today, or we're missing athletes and stuff
right.
like that. She's not mad at me, so go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Be upset, vent and
mm-hmm.
stuff. It's okay.
Trying to put a crib together, you know, like change it to a toddler crib because this kid keeps jumping out of the crib
yeah,
and I'm, you
yeah,
know, there's
yeah.
Again, you just
things.
Roll with the punches because, again, you don't want to, that's your friend
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to, like, just kind of be, like, dismissive and not look at their how they're feeling also in the situation.
Mm-hmm. But one thing that I will say in kind of in regards to that is like, so I'm going to give this little side story, which you can put on your podcast. I 100% give all rights to this. Is like, there's this beauty in having a business with your friendship, mm-hmm. with your friends, because you guys have this different understanding. Yeah. And there's like almost a different level of empathy, right? That is mm-hmm. attached consciously or subconsciously. Mm-hmm. At my job, I've realized how beneficial it is to kind of have this mm-hmm. as an outlet and understanding this business. I recently had a situation where I got called out for extending my weekends mm-hmm. without somebody doing their background. Mm-hmm. And so it was, Ms. Simmons, you're extending your weekends and I want to, you know, why? And I was like, well, I have a doctor's appointment, but I'm not at work at the time. Haha. But I was on my lunch break and I was like, I don't really think I'm extending my weekends, but I can't, this executive director, I can't talk to her, like, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And then it was, if you want to take any more sick time, you have to file for FMLA. And I remember being in the parking lot looking like Jennifer Love Hewitt in, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Like, you know, like, because there's no empathy there because there is no attachment.
Right, right.
She is who she is. I am who I am. I am just employee number 00080 to her. I am not Tanika Simmons. I am not a mother. I am not trying to provide the best for my family. I don't have my child. Like, she doesn't care that my son's in private school. She doesn't care about my bills and my expenses and my life and my mental health. She cares that she believes that I'm extending my weekends, which I was not, for the record. I was not. But now what did I have to do? I had to file for FMLA.
Right,
I've never had to file for FMLA. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you find that sometimes whatever you feel like is tough in the business that you have with your friends is really like, this is a cakewalk. If Allison said, Tanika, you better file for some FMLA, I would be like, I'm out of here, you know? But
I mean, that's a good point, though. Like, how do you offset the other way that can go, which is like, oh, I do have so much empathy for my friend that, like, now the business is suffering. Like, towing that line.
I think part of it is knowing, like, what your role is, right? Mm. So I know my role is competitions and uniforms and practice gear. And so I have to, before I would come to them and say I'm overwhelmed and I can't handle this, I have to take a look at myself and say, well, what am I doing to not have the time to take care of this? And then try to fix that first before I'm going to come to them and say I can't do it or I need help. And that's where Shirley, I think, had said something earlier about, you know, you just kind of do your part and you don't, people may not let go of certain things. If I don't have to let go of it, I'm not going to put it on to Allison or Shirley to work with the uniform company to make sure that we have uniforms on time or whatever. But if there are times that I need help, I'm going to ask for it. So I think it's just you find that place and knowing your role and then self-reflection before just giving something away to somebody or putting it on somebody else's plate and saying, here, now you handle that because I'm just too busy or I have other things in life. Like, no, what am I doing where I can I take on more? Can I do more where, like, maybe I need to get up first thing in the morning. When we're done with this, I got to go back and I'm going to be doing stuff for the gym because I know that I'm behind on certain things where I would already have been done with it. I'm not. So I need to make sure that it gets done before tomorrow because Allison has sent out an email. See? So, so it's, I mean, I think it's just, you have to do that. You have to self-reflect before you displace.
Every ship has parts and every part needs to be part of that ship for the ship to move.
Indeed.
Anything. So I think it's so crazy when people think, like, because you start a new ship, that there's less work that goes into it. There's, you know?
What do you mean by that?
Well, a friendship takes work. Marriage takes work. Any type of ship, when you're at work, that's a ship that you're on. Right. That takes work.
Right.
You just got to put in the work.
Right.
Or go get a froze.
That helps. Sometimes you need that. I mean, I do love, like, I mean, from the beginning, I just really loved that you guys started Iconic. And because knowing that this really wasn't to make money, you know, like, obviously you want the business to be viable and for it to, you know, like, money does help in certain things, like even what you said in the beginning, which was, like, this is targeted for people who aren't necessarily going to have the $500 just to put towards a uniform. You're trying to, like, offset that cost. So money does help in that regard. And, like, just, like, that this is something that's impactful for the community, because I know firsthand like how much being part of a team, being part of cheerleading has helped me grow and, you know, has helped develop me as a person, like you said, to like leadership skills and all of this. I'm curious to know, like, you know, now you guys have been doing this for 6 years, like what are some of the highlights or just like the things that really make you proud of being, you know, that you started Iconic?
That's a good question. I could give you an obvious answer, which is one of our teams going to Worlds, which is the equivalent to
the Super Bowl.
Olympics for cheerleading. Right. And that's an easy one. But I would say we have lots of little wins. Mm-hmm. There was a particular athlete that we had, Chloe, that Coach T was very close with and helped her to go from having a back walkover, which is one of the level one skills, to having a back tuck.
Mm, wow.
Right. In the space of, 2 years? I mean, she was like, really a real talent. And so, like, seeing these athletes who normally wouldn't have the opportunity to learn such a valuable skill. If this girl decides to go on to high school or college, she's going to be a star at her school simply because she has a back tuck, especially if she's in New York, you know?
Right. Yep.
So, like, teaching our youth these skills and them being able to potentially shine on their next team and be the star of their next team because we're the ones who impacted them in that way. Mm-hmm. I think those are the wins that I value the most.
Love that.
Yeah, I would say too, like when we have people that leave our program and didn't skip a year, we give them scholarships at the end of the season.
What do you mean didn't skip a year?
So like that they've stayed with us from the time, from their first sign up, their first registration until they graduate. Mm. So we give them scholarships for school at the end of the season. So that's also why we don't make money.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But it's nice because it's kind of a surprise and it's something we said at our first interest meeting, but those parents are long gone. So we could have been like, oh, well, and now I've put it on YouTube so it's going to last forever. But, and then there's like little opportunities that we've had from like performing at Black Excellence to doing a Reebok ad to, cheering on at Tunnels to Towers and doing community service with Susan G. Komen and the Teal Walk. And so I think there's all these little things that are really spectacular on top of the growth of the athletes and then just kind of watching our younger team grow and grow and grow. Like we have like 13 or 14 athletes on our younger team where that team started out with like four. So it's, and that's the growth that we were initially starting. Like I coached the older team. I mean, having 17, 18 year olds is great, but that's not why we started Iconic or else we could have just stayed at Brooklyn College for the little pesos that we were getting. But
we'll cut that out too.
But I mean, at the end of the day, those are the things that we have enjoyed or watching our kids go and cheer on at college. And staying in connection with them or having them come and visit us. It's nice.
Word of mouth is nice. I like going through my videos and just like going through my albums, just seeing the small little growths.
In your athletes.
I always coach the babies, so it's really nice to see them when they move on to what would be Tanika's team. So it's really nice. Or Allison's, because she coaches the middle team, what would be level 2, 3 and up. But I love starting off with the babies.
I'm glad she loves it.
Yeah, I do. Parents love to see growth in their kids. Yeah. What? And if you're the person who's giving them the growth, it's like, you're a superhero.
You're so funny.
It's true.
Well, I mean, you know what's cool too, though, is like, I mean, people, you know, who are watching don't know this, but it's like, you guys are just like serial businesswomen. I mean, each of you not only have a full-time job, but also run Iconic, but also then have your own personal businesses. I mean, it's just, it is very like admirable and just like, you know, inspiring too, at least for me, and I'm sure for other people who are watching. Very proud to call you my friends. Have a little moment.
We're very proud of you.
Just to kind of like wrap things up and we can go down the line, is what would you tell your younger self? And we can, who wants to start with that?
Yeah, sure, sometime.
Okay.
To start with Z.
What would I
tell? Oh, I got mine.
Go. Okay. Okay. I'm on the need some more time. She asks this question all the time, so I should have been prepared.
Okay. I would tell my younger self, like young, right? Like before the tens and up.
Sure.
Right? To speak up. I think when I was younger, I had a really hard time speaking up. I was really shy. People think that's not true, but I was really shy speaking up. English is not my first language. But seriously, it wasn't. I used to be made fun of for certain things that I, certain words that I said. But anyways, I would say speak up even if you were, you're nervous. Mm. Because somebody else might actually have to say the same exact thing, but they're also nervous too. So you could be that person in the room that shines bright.
I like that. Yeah.
That was so deep, and my answer is so shallow.
I'm so happy. I wanted to go deep, you know? No,
my answer is so shallow. My answer is go into business sooner. Start your business sooner. Yeah, I'm coming from, I don't know if this is an American culture thing, you tell me, T, or a Caribbean thing or a New York thing, but it's always like work for the city, work for the state, right. Get your benefits, get your pension. And you're limiting your opportunities when you do that, right? Mm-hmm. So you can do a combo like me, which is to have the city job and then have your businesses.
Yeah.
But start your business. Whatever your passion is, jump into it and jump into it immediately because you are limiting yourself financially and otherwise when you stick with the mentality of I need to have my good city or state job and that's what's going to keep me safe for the rest of my life.
I think that's a great point.
Start your business.
Yeah. And especially because America is set up where, you know, it benefits businesses, not like individual employees per se, like tax breaks and things of that nature. So yeah, I think that's a great advice. Yeah. What about you?
It's kind of a little similar to what Allison said. I think that when we're able to look back in hindsight, you are like, man, I should start my business earlier. I should do these adventures earlier. I should buy a house when, you know, in 2006 or something, you know, like you go back and you start to think of what you should do with the knowledge that you have today.
Yeah.
And I think it's just taking that step and taking the leaps of faith that you, as I said earlier, like you grow, as you grow, your fear sometimes grows. Mm-hmm. So like being more, or less fearful for I can't think of the better word that I wanted to use. Less fearful in attacking certain things. Because I think that that's even today where I kind of hold on to like decision making. Like, what am I going to do? Do I want this? Do I want this? Do I want this? I don't know what I want. So I would probably just tell myself to just keep being fearless and take every opportunity and, you know, like jump off the cliff. Just keep jumping. Yeah.
I'd never think that you were indecisive.
Oh, I'm very indecisive. What? I have a lot of decisions that I need to make today.
The internal world.
Yeah, like just internally, like what do I want? Yeah. Where do I want to go? What am I going to do? And not that it's, I get there. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to get there and I know that I'm going to get there. It's just making those decisions.
Right, right.
But then sometimes you just have to have faith, right? Mm-hmm. So you just trust the process And when you do know certain things, like I knew particular, like with Trey's schooling, I knew I wanted him in this school. Mm. When we got the acceptance letter 2 weeks before school started, and then we got the tuition, because it wasn't public knowledge, I was kind of like, okay. And I called my grandma. My grandma said, you'll figure it out. And then God said, here, want another job? Oh. Boom. Here you go. So now, you know, I feel good. I don't worry about money. I'm just like, because it's coming, you know, like it's coming. So you have to have faith. So it was, I'm going to jump off the ledge. I'm going to apply for this job. Who knows? And then when they said, here you go, it was like, oh God, divine intervention, because I needed, I would be a little poor. Like I wouldn't have come in with my Starbucks, my venti Starbucks cup today. I would have came in.
It would have been a tall.
Yeah, it would have been reused, like heated up three times or something. Yeah. So I think you just have to have faith and just know your strength and always remember that. And I have like I would have a great quote, but I can't remember it because I was a little tired when I watched Colin in Black and White. But I don't know if you've watched it, but it ends with him writing himself, his younger self, a letter. Oh, wow. So you should watch it.
Yeah, I wanted to see that documentary.
It's really cute. Mm.
Says, ask and you shall receive.
I know. Well, Shirley stays to that. And Shirley is, she's strong. Because sometimes I be asking.
You have the confidence.
You have to walk in conviction in what you say. If you're faithful, then you're faithful across the board at all times. I'm trying to still hold on faithful to my man, but I'm...
That's another podcast. Maybe that should be your podcast.
We'll wrap it up there. No, but...